Welcome back to Strength 101, the podcast where we break down fitness and nutrition into its simplest forms so you can get the results that you want. Nick, how are you today? Oh, shoot.
I'm great. You freaking nailed that, by the way. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you so much. I practiced a couple times.
Yeah.
Griswold was saying hi, too, if you couldn't hear that.
Yeah. I'm good. I mean, it's a misty, nasty, cold day outside, but we're in here to, talk some fitness.
The leaves are pretty fire, though, from this, if you actually look up on them.
Oh, look at that.
So the leaves are changing. It's almost Halloween, guys. Talking about Halloween, we're on today to talk about frequently asked questions at the gym, which sometimes could be scary. Dun, dun, dun.
It can be scary. Wow, nice transition. I like that. Yeah, I think you will be doing the fitness myths one that we posted a couple weeks ago. That one, there's just so many questions that are out there that don't require a full podcast that I think we're able to hit a lot more of that and give people direction if we just, take 5 minutes a question and go through it. So looks like you got a lot dialed up for us. I'm excited.
For sure. Lots of different questions on, the aspects of nutrition or just how we want to train or even how you just start in the gym. So I think it'll be really helpful to pop through. And if you're listening to us for the first time, maybe we'll get you some tips and tricks to feel comfortable in the gym.
Heck yeah. It's not that scary, guys. It's a pretty cool place.
It is. And I would say so, especially here at Strength Academy.
Okay. 20-minute timer. We can do that.
You know what? Talking about that, I think just honestly, jumping right into the question, we're getting right into it.
Let's do it.
Do you overcome gym anxiety?
Gym anxiety? Like gym intimidation?
Yeah, gym intimidation.
Yeah, that's tough. I remember when I first started going to the gym, like post-college, I was in the weight room a lot for college, but you're with your team. There's no anxiety about that. You're just with all your buddies kind of.
Yeah.
And then even once when I moved out to Colorado and I was going to a gym for the first time again, I was like nervous. And I just thought that everybody, when I walked in there and I was doing curls or something, that they were in their head saying, God, look at that skinny little bitch. Like, that guy doesn't know how to lift. Like, why is he even trying? That
yeah.
type of stuff. And I had my entire schooling in this, had tons of years of history in the weight room, and I still felt that way. So I totally understand it. I think the first thing you have to realize is, like, nobody gives a crap.
Mm-hmm.
There's maybe a handful of really evil people in the world that probably actually go to a gym to make fun of people or to feel like they're better than others. Everybody else is either focused on their own shit or maybe they're good enough that they want to help you. And I found that mm-hmm. to be the case more often than not in the gym.
Or I feel like people probably feel the same way you do of being like, oh, I'm nervous too.
Yeah.
I think most people think that coming into the gym. So
yeah.
You're not alone on that also.
Well, I think that culture has changed. I would imagine it's changed a lot since like 20 years ago where it's just part of a lot of gym slogans now, right? It's like the no shame gym, the Planet Fitness type of thing. I think you can find a lot of gyms where they have eradicated the people with their shirts off or the super steroid heads or whatever. And the nice thing is, I don't know about you. I know you're going to some 24/7 gyms right now. All the ones that I used to go to, there was always little areas off to the side where I could kind of like hide out and do some of my work mm-hmm. in there if I wanted to, instead of being in front of the big old mirror. And I yeah. think that's super helpful.
Yeah. No, that definitely makes a difference. Yeah. I'd say like the biggest thing is just like getting in and doing it. Like it's scary, but overcoming it, like you'll eventually just get more comfortable. And yeah, discovering like what's all in the gym, like look around, like everyone's new at one point. So everyone has had to do that too. Look around and see what the gym has to offer. Or if you're coming into a group fitness gym like here, it's just, the reps, getting in here, talking to people, talking to the coach. And just getting comfortable with what's around.
Yeah. Some places legitimately do. They give off a bad vibe. Like it's not yeah. that, like just like, there's some doctors that made it by in life getting C's and D's on all their exams. So maybe they're not the best doctor. Same thing. Like some gyms are just not the best gym. And so I think you have to ask yourself, how much of this is my own anxiety? I'm assuming people are looking at me and thinking about me. And as Matresa likes to remind me all the time, it's not all about you, Nick. And that's the way you want to think when you're going to these places is probably people are focused on their own crap, not mm-hmm. you.
Right.
But then if you really are in a gym where they actually like are looking down their nose, the people aren't quite that nice. Like it's just got a weird vibe to it that maybe doesn't match what you're trying to get out of fitness.
Yeah.
Go find a different place. That's mm-hmm. what's awesome about the capitalistic market of the United States is there's always a competitor
yep.
that's probably doing something a little bit different.
Yeah. That was super true. Always different gyms around.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, how do you stay motivated?
Oh, good question. How do I stay motivated?
Or just like, how would you tell someone if some, like, as in, what if I was asking you, like, how do I stay motivated?
Yeah. Okay. So we did a podcast on this recently. I'm going to see if I can kind of condense this into a couple sentences on my personal opinion. So I think motivation, as far as we defined it in that podcast, is fake, right? It's mm-hmm. it's a false, a fleeting sense of desire to go and attack your goals. And at least when I first started in the gym, and I'll just continue to use myself as an example, because maybe the world does revolve around me, Matresa. When I first started, I didn't have an easy time getting to the gym. So I had a couple rules for myself. Like I definitely could not go home. Like when I went from work to the gym, I was not allowed to stop at home because I knew I'd never get off the couch if I did. So I had to go straight to the gym. But what motivated me to go there was a couple things. At the job I was at, in the last 10 minutes of my day, I would start watching YouTube videos that were legitimate, as cheesy as it sounds, motivational YouTube videos. Mm-hmm. Les Brown, like Eric Thomas, like anybody, Arnold Schwarzenegger yelling in my ear, like, you can do it. You just got to try all
now
this
stuff.
Now it's
the David Goggins.
David Goggins. Yeah, whatever.
Andy Frisella.
Yeah, Andy. Uncle Andy.
You know him very well.
Yes, I do. He's on my chest. So any of those. Whatever kind of trips your trigger and actually gets you a little bit psyched up, that plus a little bit of caffeine is huge. And I think at the beginning, you have to be willing to leverage those types of activities in order to just get yourself to the gym. Because then the next step is once you motivate yourself to get there and you go there and you go there and you start to see some progress from what you do and you develop the habit, then you can stop doing some of that stuff. But I'll tell you, if you're in your first week or two at the gym and it takes a YouTube video and 300 milligrams of caffeine for you to get psyched up to go there, then you should keep doing that. And eventually you won't have to do that stuff anymore. But at first, use whatever you can. I don't know if that's a vision board for people, but I would use the cheesiest versions possible.
So like I was thinking right off the bat when you said you would just go from work to the gym,
yeah,
you would probably pack your gym clothes,
yep,
right? So like I would say it's really important that if you're making a promise to yourself to go to the gym 3 times a week and that either is before work or after work, for sure packing your clothes, throwing it in your car, knowing that bag's already in there. Maybe you even bring it into work and you have to change into that when your shift's done to then you know you're already in your clothes and you're going to the gym. Or you lay it out beforehand so you wake up in the morning and that's the first thing you see. So it's like, oh yeah, I got to get up. I got to get on my gym clothes and I got to get to the gym.
Yeah, 100%. I think reminding yourself constantly of your goals is like a really big thing too, because when I'm well slept and I'm just kind of generally feeling good and I'm motivated, I'm well fed, then like it's easy for me to be motivated to go attack my goals. But when I'm tired and I've had a bit of a rough week, then I'm not thinking about it as clearly and it's just not as important to me when I'm in that state of mind.
Right.
And so I think constant reminders. I used to write stuff on my with a dry erase marker on my mirror, my bathroom mirror a lot. I love that. Or putting up like pictures of what you're trying to achieve.
Yeah.
But I think this is a good place to reference too, that there are positive motivators and there are negative motivators. And the example I always use is like, you want to be the mouse that chases down the smell of the cheese, but also is getting chased by a cat at the same time. Cause that's a mouse that's running damn fast.
Yeah.
And so I think gym wise, you want to walk or run towards what you want out of the gym, but you also want to be chased by what you don't want. And maybe that's like a family member that was obese and died at 45 years old, or maybe it's just, you know, I don't know, some health issue that your family has that you don't want to happen to you. That can be a huge motivator. And so maybe even just writing that down, what's the positive motivator that you is the benefit of you going that way? And also, what are you avoiding by going that way? And both of those can be helpful.
For sure. One of my favorite things I feel like I've seen on social media lately is like follow the plan, not your mood. And I think that's like the most perfect way to explain that, because quickly at like motivation starts at the beginning when, especially now coming up the beginning of the year, everyone wants to get in, everyone wants to make a change. It's the new year, I knew me, whatever. But that slowly fades quickly, right? Motivation will not stay with you all the time. So it is having that discipline or integrating that of, okay, yeah, I'm having a shitty day. I don't want to go to the gym, but I should probably go to the gym because that's going to be my best insight, right? Like you're going to be very grateful you went later on. So it's really pushing yourself and talking to that inner bitch voice is what I like to say.
Yeah.
It's like saying, hey, screw you.
Do you have
I'm
a name
still
for
do
it? Your inner bitch voice?
No, I don't. I just say bitch voice, but I should make a name for it.
We should. There's a Disney movie that calls it Bruno, but we have a Bruno at the gym.
Yeah, we can't call
it. Silencio Bruno.
Poor Emily.
Yeah, poor him. Well, actually, something that you reminded me of, which I've used in the past, but you were saying when you first started here and you weren't like absolutely loving your job because you weren't very good at it at first, that I can't remember if you told me you talked to your boyfriend or whoever or your dad, but you said, I'm going to give it 3 more months. I'm just going to work at it for 3 more months. Setting that kind of, I have a checkpoint out in the future where there's enough time for maybe me to change my mind about it. But if I'm still miserable doing it, then it's an exit ramp. I'm okay to get off.
Yeah,
that always quells my anxiety about not wanting to do something. If I'm like, okay, I'm going to grind it out for X amount of time. And if I still hate it, then I'll stop doing it. Mm-hmm. Most of the time when you get to that point, your mind has changed. The habits are different.
Right. Yeah, so. Totally. Yeah. So give it time. Like definitely. And everything is a process, right? Cool. No, I think that was a good one.
I have a question for you.
What's your question?
Let's say I convinced myself that my metabolism is just crazy slow. Mm-hmm. How can I speed it up, Matresa?
Huh. Well, this is a great question. Yeah. Actually, this is something we get a lot in the gym.
Your eyebrows went on fleek there. good question.
Crazy enough to ask. Well, I'd say one of the biggest things for metabolism is for sure muscle mass in your body. So definitely getting, if you have a lot more muscle mass, as I know someone or people always look at Nick and are always like, how can Nick eat the things he can? Granted, he is 6'4", but he has a lot of muscle mass on him, right? So for him, his metabolism is going to be a lot different than somebody who is overweight and 5 feet tall. So with little muscle mass on them, mind you, for sure, muscle mass is going to be a huge game changer. It's a lot of times why people say go in, lift weights, because A, it changes your body, but not only, like on the, aesthetic side, but also on the inside. So like metabolism is a huge piece of that.
Yeah, I have to agree. I think people overestimate the things that they can't control about their metabolic rate. Like they say age has slowed it down or, you know, I've tried everything. I've tried every diet. My metabolism is just slow. It runs in my family, all that stuff. And they very much underestimate how much control they actually have over it. And it's the answer that nobody wants to hear. It really is. It's muscle mass. Like the stat that I love to throw out there, you've heard me say it a million times, was that age only accounts for 3% of variance between people's metabolic rates. And so age, you're 10 years younger than me. And the difference between our metabolic rates, only 3% of that is explained by that 10-year gap. Mm-hmm. But 66% of the difference between why I can eat 4,500 calories and you eat approximately what?
Like 2,300.
2,300 is just the fact that I probably have close to double the amount of muscle mass on my body that you do. Mm-hmm. Like it's likely possible if we actually just like measured it out. And so, yeah, that's huge. We stop moving as much after we get out of, especially out of college when maybe we're still playing rec sports.
I would even argue like middle school, high school, like that's, even that's if you're fair. Done with that, like it's truthfully.
You're right. Yeah. Most people, because most sedentary. People don't play college sports or maybe even work out in college anyways. And so, yeah, after you're done playing pickup basketball in high school or just doing whatever and messing around with your friends, then yeah, you slow down. And then if you're not moving as much, your body doesn't maintain as much muscle mass because it doesn't need it. It's if you don't use it, you lose it. Mm-hmm. And so you lose it. And then not only are you moving around less, which burns less calories, but you're also have less muscle mass. So everyday tasks, you burn less calories. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you turn 21, you get a stressful job, you have a few kids, and all of a sudden you just don't have the same metabolism. Mm-hmm. And it's not necessarily that it happened to you, like it was your habits that did it, but it's better to understand that you actually have control of that and it is reversible than to just say that it's age or family history.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, because too many people paint the picture of, oh, once you hit 50 or whatever, that you're screwed, nothing, you can't do anything. Yeah. Sure, yeah, there could be times where it might be a little bit harder, but doesn't mean that it's impossible. Like there's ways around it and there's ways that you can change it.
Yeah. And to be fair, there are people who naturally have a slower metabolism than other mm-hmm. people, and there's nothing you can really do about that. So it's always focus on what you can control. And the number one thing you can control is whether you're keeping your current muscle mass active and whether you're growing more and just get in the gym.
Yeah.
It's the answer to most things.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would also add with that, like, don't compare. Like, I think that's the hardest thing too, is like, don't compare yourself to someone. Like I can't compare myself to you, for example.
No.
You know, being like, oh.
Don't do it.
Yeah. Never. Okay. Nick, if I was coming into the gym, is form more important than weight?
I had this how much one weight I can too. Move? Do you have this one marked to ask?
I marked it because you asked, you marked it.
Go ahead. Sorry.
So I wanted to ask
I'm ruining
you
the question asking. Go ahead.
Okay, let's try this again.
Yep.
If I'm in the gym, mm-hmm. should I be focusing, is form more important than the weight that I can move?
For what? That would be my first question. What's the context? What's the goal of what you're trying to achieve in the gym?
Yeah, good question.
Yeah.
This is very vague. So I think let's go on both ways. Let's go on someone that is trying to gain muscle, and then let's go of someone just coming in for the first time ever, not ever coming to a gym and not knowing what they should be focusing on.
Perfect. I'll take those in reverse order though. So like, let's say somebody enters the gym
beginner,
for the first time. The first goal for anybody who enters the gym for the first time is just learn the skill of strength training. Like when you come in, if you either haven't spent much time in the gym or you have, but it's like 10 years ago, you just need to get the skill down and build your athletic confidence in, well, can I squat and actually drop into a squat and feel confident about it and not like pay attention to every movement for 3 seconds on the way down? Can I learn to deadlift? Can I learn to press? Can I learn to row? And get all these things correct so you feel confident. along that path, you're going to figure out how much weight you can do. And then it is your responsibility to lift heavier weights. Mm-hmm. When the goal is just to make your body feel good, then form is definitely most important. And I would say range of motion specifically about form is probably most important, because mm-hmm. people just generally, as we age, we definitely suffer from some loss of range of motion because we just don't do all the movements that we did when we were 16 and running around in the backyard. I don't know if anybody's running around at 16 in the backyard, but let's say 12. And you just don't do that anymore. And so in the gym, just getting extra range of motion on your list is going to likely make you feel better. And we see this in power lifters, right? They lift really heavy weights, but their range of motion tends to be shorter and they walk around like a big potato, right? Just because, you know, they're tight, and that's totally fine for their goals. But for most people, range of motion is going to be huge. So form first, but then once you decide that your goal is to put on muscle mass, you just can't cheat the need for more weight. Mm-hmm. It's progressive overload, right? And so every time you enter the gym, you either need to lift the same weight for more repetitions up to a certain point, or you need to pick up a heavier weight. And I would say, sure, there's a point for everybody when range of motion suffers so much that maybe you're not getting a full stretch on the muscle and it's not as effective. But no matter what, you have to increase weight. So it's almost a combination of the two in my eyes. It's like, can I keep the same form mm-hmm. and same range of motion, maybe with slight tweaks to it, and just get better at it and just get heavier at it. Mm-hmm. If you can keep both of those, you're probably going to be healthy and big and strong.
Yeah. Lifting smart with it for sure.
Yeah, exactly. What about you? Do you ever go through periods of, like right now we're on a heavy strength program and everybody's going to get way stronger. They're going to lift super heavy weights and they might get more stiff, but do you notice any difference between when you're lifting more or when you're doing more of other types of exercises, how your body feels?
I mean, yeah, because I would say there's times where specifically like deadlift is an exercise I can think of. Like, I know I can go really heavy, but a lot of times if I try to push myself to that next step, I do lose my form. Like, usually the first place I feel it is my lower back. So like that's an exercise that would be important for myself to focus on staying at maybe that lower weight and continuing perfecting my form on it. So then I'm fully comfortable going to that heavy weight knowing that my back's not going to hurt the next day.
Deadlift's a really good example of that too, because you can go heavier on exercises and you can complete them and they may look fine. Even if somebody's watching you do that mm-hmm. and they're like, yeah, your deadlift looks really good. And then you're like, but my lower back's so beat up the next day. Some of that might be fine, but maybe you do need to go lighter weight for a while, focus on letting your glutes do most of the work so your lower back's not blown up. And then you will eventually achieve that heavier weight. You're just trying to rush it too much.
Yeah. You know? That is actually one thing this summer we had, Ulis come in and talk to us for deadlift. So we had a deadlift class over the summer practicing to get better at barbell deadlift. Well, that was something like for a lot of my friends tell me I will absolutely never deadlift because it hurts my back. And I think that's just like a known thing that people just automatically connect their back to deadlift. So they just refuse to do it because they're going to hurt their back. But learning from Ulis that like using your glutes so much more through a deadlift, even at the beginning, is crazy. Because he said you should never feel your back. You should feel your glutes the next day.
Yeah.
And that totally changed my mindset on it because I was like, wow. Because I inevitably always do feel my back, even if I think I'm like not using it, I do. So that's something I need to work on. But what I'm saying is that's like a shock that I think to people that they avoid deadlifts because they think they're bad for their back. But actually, they're really helpful because they'll strengthen your back.
Yeah, for sure.
And of course, the rest of your body. But
that glute thing was huge because I mean, I always thought drive with my glutes, whatever on deadlifts. And like, I'll take you guys through a quick example. It's going to be kind of graphic, but I think it's very useful. I think it's very easy to go down into a deadlift position and to just using the cues that we always use, big, deep breath, tighten up your abs, draw your shoulders away from yours, all that stuff. You can do all that stuff and still be kind of loose through your hips and through your glutes. And I think a lot of people talk about this as like tensing up your pelvic floor.
Yeah.
It's very easy to tighten up your abs, tighten up your whole body and still be kind of loose through your glutes. And then when you lift, you're kind of hanging out in your hamstrings and your lower back. Whereas maybe the thing that you actually have to feel, and this is where it's going to get graphic, is when you go to pull a deadlift off the floor, you need to think about flexing your glutes, but almost more internally, you need to think about tightening up everything. And the best example I have about it is like, imagine you are taking a number two and you have to cut it off. And that feeling of tensing up everything, that's probably what's going to engage your glutes and keep things out of your lower back in a deadlift. Mm-hmm. But yeah. But it's hard to say that during class, right?
Yeah.
Hey, you know, cut the turd.
Imagine you're doing it. Yeah. No kidding. But I think that like that actually
we should
just
use that.
Yeah, definitely. Maybe not.
Maybe not. Think of a better example.
But that's like that right there, I feel like was technically another question we didn't even have on here. But people do ask that, like, should I feel my back in deadlifts, or like, will deadlifts hurt my back? Well, those are two questions I feel
and
like.
We have so many. This is probably something we should cover to a certain extent. We get a lot of questions about going over more women's health in here. And I'm not the person that should branch into that yet. I should do more research. But I'll say what that feeling I just described is the same muscle contraction that a Kegel is, which is what is recommended to most women postpartum to kind of tighten up their pelvic floor and to get use of your glutes and your abs again so you have control over your pelvis.
Yeah.
And so if you're somebody who has been struggling with like bladder control issues, feeling things in your lower back when you lift, just generally not feeling very strong in your glutes and your abs, you might want to think of it as doing a Kegel before you do squats and before you do deadlifts, just kind of tensing up everything, or using that cut the turd off example that I used before. But I don't mean to just keep going down this path, but I actually think that's probably very useful for a lot of people out there, that if you're struggling with that, you might just not be tensing up in the right areas.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Didn't know we were going to go there, but.
Okay. I have another one though.
One left? Okay.
Nick.
Yeah.
I'm trying to lose weight, but specifically in my belly.
Okay.
Can I spot reduced fat?
Oh, I don't know. I feel like you go to the right doctor with a scalpel and you know, a melon baller, you might be able to get rid of it, but.
Well, what about in the gym? What do you mean?
Oh yeah. No, not a chance in the world. No.
Really?
Yep. Unfortunately, 100%, you cannot spot reduce fat on any specific area. And, you know, I think people hear that online. I will say we can rest on the fact that we have seen hundreds of people go through our body composition program now.
Yeah.
And we've seen people go through it multiple times, and we've seen them lose weight in a different order.
Yeah.
The second time and the third time differently than they did the first time. And so your body does what it wants to do. And often it just feels like the area that you want to lose it in the most is the area it comes off last.
Yep. 110%.
Yeah. What about you? Have you seen that in yourself, on other people?
Yeah, totally. Like I guess that's a one spot that I feel like I will never lose is in like my stomach, you know, like that. And that's always, I think for most women, that's where they want to lose it. And maybe men too, but yeah, it's for sure always in different spots. But I would say that in times where people have done body comp, or even people come in here and haven't even done body comp yet, but they're just coming in and consistently working out and you're starting to watch them lose weight, you do see it differently on everybody.
Yeah.
Where it's a lot losing.
Some people straight off their face. Some people straight off their stomach. It's crazy how
different it is. Their arms, you know, glutes, legs, whatever.
Yeah. I will say, because what we get a lot of is just women being like, how do I lose this? And they're talking about like the bingo wing, or what's the other things we call this?
I actually don't know. Bat I've wing, heard that, I but know. I guess like
lunch lady arm. That's another one.
Lunch lady arm.
Yeah, that's a thing.
I've never lunch heard lady that. Arm. That's messed
yeah,
up.
Yeah, like dips in your macaroni and cheese as they serve you. No, I'm kidding.
What?
Shout out to the lunch ladies, the unsung heroes. Adam Sandler made a song for you. I don't have to. So, but I will say that if you can't spot reduce fat, but let's say that your lower arm is an issue and you're like, oh, it just feels flabby and it feels like it shakes all the time. Well, strength training, even without fat loss, can kind of tense up that area of your body. Mm-hmm. So maybe it feels like there's muscle there instead of it sheerly being kind of shaky and being like tissue.
Yeah.
Well,
that's even
other
like
than that.
Yeah,
not much
no.
you can do.
But like people talking about their belly. Well, yeah, you can't spot reduce there. But if you aren't like strength training consistently, weight training, your abs, not just body weight, but also just doing exercises like deadlift, squats, as we were just talking about, like that's a full body movement, compound movement, which is going to work your abs. So getting your abs strong, and then of course going into a calorie deficit, you're going to tread down there if you do it right. You know? So, I mean, that's where you're going to get the results. Yeah. People talk about toning their body, but you can't be toned if you don't have any muscle. You're just going to be the skinny fat that people, that terminology.
Totally. Another thing that I think people should keep in mind. I used to get this. I used to do skin caliper tests. Did you ever have to do that?
Yeah, we did
they
those
teach
in
you
school.
That in school, okay. Mm-hmm. So we don't do them here because I think they're just too invasive. But one-on-one, I was a fan of them, actually, because of how much I learned about how people's skin and muscle changes as they lose weight.
Yeah. And also as they age.
Yeah. So skin's definitely thinner as you get older. And so it definitely hangs a little bit more. That can make you feel like you're just kind of fatter feeling or looking sometimes. But I got to the point where I had done so many of those that when somebody came in, and usually people are seeing you as a personal trainer because they want to lose weight anyways.
Yeah.
But if I went to grab like their arm fat or their stomach fat or wherever to get that separation, if it was really, really hard to get, I knew that they were at or close to the heaviest they'd ever been in their life. It was almost like their body was like a puffed up balloon.
Yeah.
And then as they would lose weight, their skin would actually get a little bit saggier, a little bit looser. And so sometimes you actually might feel tighter at a heavier weight. Then you start training, you start losing some fat. You might actually feel a little bit wigglier at first.
Mm-hmm.
And so just something to keep in mind, because the human body can play so many tricks on you that just because you're feeling like things are shaking doesn't mean you're heading in the wrong direction.
Yeah. No, that's a super, super good point.
Yeah. I forgot about that until right now.
And I would say with that, like, again, it's all process. Like, if you are someone that's overweight and you're wanting to lose weight, like, you didn't just become overweight overnight. Same thing. You're not going to, you know, be the weight that you want overnight either, you know?
So. Yeah. Yeah. You want to put it on over 10 years and you want it off right now. And that's mm-hmm. just not how it's going to work.
No.
Yep.
In a perfect world, but unfortunately this world's not perfect.
This was good though. I'm glad we went down a couple different paths here that we haven't talked about. So this is awesome. We'll keep doing these FAQs.
Guys, let us know if you liked them.
Oh yeah.
Oh, sorry.
No, guys, if you're listening to this at all, please look out on our Instagram, especially. We're now going to be posting, asking for specific questions. We would rather be answering your specific questions if you're already listening to this. Otherwise, we'll continue to go into frequently asked questions and stuff like that. But respond to those and we will take the time. We'll make sure our research is in line and then we'll answer them. Matresa, yeah. Where can they find you?
You guys can find me on Instagram at MatresaFit, MatresaFit. Where can they find you, Nick?
They can find me on Instagram at Nick, NICK, double underscore, 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 BYOM. You can find all of our fitness information at Strength101. That's the one that's really information heavy. You can also find us on YouTube. You'll find this podcast on YouTube at Strength101 and on the TikTok at Strength101. Guys, that was Strength101.
Peace out.